I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, some Americans are charging their way through the recession, especially senior citizens, who, according to a new report, have seen the biggest jump in credit card debt of all age groups over the last 3 years, the senior credit crunch. We'll talk about that later in the program. But first, the battle over health care. As lawmakers head toward the August break, they are getting an earful from constituents and others about their work to overhaul the nation's health care system. Texas Democratic Congressman Lloyd Dockett was among those who caught the wrath this past weekend at what is normally a low-key give-and-take with constituents. But not this time.
We have a shouting match.
You're supposed to be representing us.
And I'm doing just
amen.
That.
No! No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You're supposed to be representing
us.
I see how you vote.
In recent days, protesters and hecklers have also made their presence known at town hall meetings for several other congressional Democrats, including Minnesota's Keith Ellison, Missouri's Russ Carnahan, and Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter. We wanted to find out what it's like to be on the receiving end of these protests and what effect it is having, if any, on Congress's work. So we called Texas Congressman Lloyd Dockett. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Michelle, good to join you from deep in the heart of Texas.
Well, thank you. So would you just walk us through what happened last Saturday? What was this unusual? I take it this was an unusual thing to happen at one of your constituent meetings.
Michelle, I do what are called neighborhood office hours. Indeed, I'd done them the Saturday before last with a number of people coming up to express their views, sometimes vigorously on both sides of the health care issue and many other things that are happening in Washington. This was to be the same at a neighborhood grocery store, but instead the local Republican Party, with some backing from the state Republican Party, brought in people from as far away as almost a couple hours' drive, people that weren't in my district. Half the people there probably were not from this area at all. And they came not to have an honest dialogue and discuss this, but to deny other people the opportunity to be heard at this meeting and to, I guess quite appropriately, as the party of no, no way, never, to yell, just say no. And I think that really symbolizes what the Republican Party is all about in this health care debate.
I just want to clarify one thing. You're sure these were not your constituents, or most of the people were not your constituents.
Some of the people were certainly my constituents. I had a Boy Scout, for example, and his dad in uniform there to apply for a military academy. I had some seniors come who were about a bill that I was working on, as I usually have at these neighborhood office hours. And no doubt some of the protesters were from the area of town that I represent. But there's also no doubt when you turn to the website of the local Republican Party chair, when you turn now to YouTube and look at the fancy produced videos, very selective of this entire event, they say they were produced by the Republican Party of Texas. So this whole grassroots opposition, pitchforks rising across the country, is a total masquerade. It's total nonsense. This is a coordinated effort by the Republican Party and the insurance industry to do anything they can to stop reform that they've held off for over 60 years.
What bothers you about the behavior? Some might argue, well, that's what grassroots activism is. For example, MoveOn.org has a coordinated national response to push for health care overhaul.
Well, you know, I'm personally a believer in protest and a very strong believer in the First Amendment. I believe that they have the right to come and criticize me, to bring their colorful signs saying Lloyd Dockett, traitor to Texas, devil to all people, as they said, and a beautiful tombstone with my name on it. That's the
and
free
devil
flow
and pitchfork, as I recall. There was a picture of you with some horns, as I saw.
Beautiful red horns coming out of my head. In the course of 40 years of marriage, my wife says that, you know, that might have been true once or twice, but not for purposes of this. And seriously, what I'm saying is that everyone has the right to come and debate vigorously, and the way to deal with that free speech and expression is more free speech. The only problem I have with these folks is one masquerading as a grassroots effort when they were clearly organized by the Republican Party. Yesterday, the chair of the local Republican Party had a thank you on her website praising them for being there. And the second and more important thing is that some people like the Boy Scout, like the seniors, like the person with disabilities who was in a wheelchair to discuss another piece of legislation, their voices were drowned out by the just say no. I listened to the questions, to the taunts of this Republican crowd for about an hour. And finally, it became clear that there was no way to hear anyone else, and they didn't want to hear anything that I had to say further. And so as I tried to depart, they engaged in a rather amateurish attempt to block my departure.
Hmm. If you're just tuning in, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking with Texas Democratic Congressman Lloyd Doggett about a town hall meeting he had recently in his district, which was disrupted by protesters. What do you think the intention of these protests are? Is it just to make your life unpleasant, or do you think it is meant to express something deep and visceral?
Well, I think perhaps with some members that are not as committed as I am to a strong, robust public plan to give these insurance oligopolies, monopolies, some real competition and get health care and fair standards to people across this country. One in four of my neighbors here in Texas, more uninsured people than any other place in the world, that maybe some of my colleagues will, take a step back as a result of this. Certainly, if they are successful, as I think much of the commercial media here in Austin and elsewhere have really been their handmaidens in this, in giving the impression that this is some type of outpouring of public opinion that just ordinary citizens wander in and express their dismay at the thought we might have an expansion of Medicare. That if that's the kind of thing that happens, that will create an atmosphere that gives some of the people who've worked so closely with the insurance lobby and the pharmaceutical lobby, that will give them an excuse to not do right by the American people.
The polls do suggest, though, that at least on the president's ratings, the public's evaluation of the job that the president is doing, that he is losing momentum and that there is more concern about his performance on health care specifically. Are you worried about a loss of momentum? And are you worried about the August break?
Well, there's no doubt that the attempt to get to halftime here, in a sense, having August for groups like the one that showed up to shout down their neighbors on Saturday here in Texas, or appear at gatherings all across the country, that's all to give this impression that there's broad opposition to what President Obama wants to do. What I'm eager to see is the continued effort on his part to educate the American people about why this plan will address a problem that is the number one source of bankruptcy and credit card debt. And where, as the president has said, it's for all Americans, even if you have insurance, because who hasn't worried that their plan, their insurance plan, wouldn't be there for them when they really need it? So we need him out continuing to lead, and we need some members of Congress who are willing to stand tall and say no to the lobbyists and the millions of dollars that are being spent to block this plan.
It does seem, though, that there is, whether some of this is ginned up or not, it does seem to sort of tap into an underlying anxiety that some Americans have and some strong ideological differences. There is a part of the citizenry that just does not trust or want the government any more involved in healthcare than it already is. And there's another part of the population that is very clearly worried about the status quo as you have described it, and that has a deep distrust of the way private industry is currently operating in the healthcare arena. Do you think there is a middle ground, or is this one of those votes that you're just going to have to grit your teeth and tough it out and just hope that people will feel in the long run your decision was the right one?
Well, I think it's more of the latter, that in Washington, there is as much interest in cooperating on this from Washington as there was with the protester who showed up with my name on a marble tombstone. There's nothing we can change in the bill that will accommodate their concerns. They really just want to stop this bill as has been done for 60 years. I do think we need to keep fine-tuning the bill. We don't have a monopoly on the truth. There is a need to look at some legitimate concerns. And when you have media attention on a silly incidents like happened here on Saturday, it causes people to wonder, isn't there something wrong about this bill? And when they hear terms like government takeover, even a woman at one of my rallies came up on her cane, thanked me for the work my office had assisted her on her Medicare, and told me she feared a government takeover. Well, a government takeover is exactly what she has in Medicare, though it's not socialism. It's government insurance program has worked remarkably well for seniors to get them out of poverty.
What about that, though? If there are people who are ill-informed, I mean, in,
well,
as this,
you know, that's where,
what
where
are you
your
gonna
listeners,
do?
That's where your listeners, Michelle, really come into play, because I think there is a tendency, and this is hardly the only issue where this is true, to say we have this historic election of Barack Obama. He's a great orator and leader. We have a Democratic Congress in Washington. All we need to do is just sit back and wait for them to do good. Well, we will not get the job done on health care in Washington unless we have an American public that is engaged and won't take no for an answer and realizes that this Republican right-wing group will take over the agenda if they're not out speaking out at every opportunity and demanding that their elected representatives serve them instead of the insurance industry.
And finally, Congressman, we only have about a minute left. Are you worried, though, given these what you're seeing in these meetings in your district and in others, that the intensity is on the other side? However aggravated people are, however dissatisfied people are with the status quo, are you concerned at all that the intensity of feeling is on the side of the opponents?
There definitely is an intensity, an organized intensity, where the insurance industry and the Republican Party across the country is doing all it can to stir up its minority. It's time for what I think is a broad source of support from the American people to be pouring out across the country, because some of my colleagues will listen only to the loudest if we don't have the breadth of support expressed that I believe is really out there. September, a key time. We have a tentative date of September 15th to act on legislation in the House. We need to be sure it's meaningful legislation, not just a title with public plan, but a real meaningful plan that can give more individual choice and more competition.
We have to leave it there. That's Lloyd Doggett.
Thank you.
He is a Democratic congressman from Texas. He represents the 25th District of Texas, and he was kind enough to join us from NPR member station KUT in Austin. Congressman, thank you. The conversation continues on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.